You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning, Kirsten.
Good morning. We're doing my homie.
Is this actually your home?
No. I mean, I'm from LA originally. I was born in LA, but I'm not from Compton, which is what we're doing today.
Which neither me and Allison really knew much about. I feel like I've heard about Compton.
I know,
a lot,
yeah.
But
I know. And it's a separate, well, it was, you know how different, you know, boundaries and stuff in cities change. But for a while it was a separate city, even though, like, if you look at a map, it's right there, like right near the middle. So apparently there's LA, there's South Central LA, which is a part of LA, and then there's Compton, which was its own city for a while. So technically we're all in the big smush of LA, but it's a very special suburb. I mean, you know, it's gotten such wide recognition and credibility, and the main thing is for gangster rap, which we'll start with some Dre, because he's one of the main dudes.
Should we give it a play and then we'll talk a little bit?
Yeah, nigga, I'm still fucking with you. Still waters run deep. Still Snoop Dogg and D.R.E. Nah, nah, nigga. Guess who's back? Still doing that shit, Andre?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Check me out. Still Dre Day, nigga, AK, nigga. Though I've grown a lot, can't keep it home a lot, cause when I frequent the spots that I'm known to rock, you hear the bass from the truck when I'm on the block. Ladies, they pay homage, but haters say Dre fell off. How, nigga, my last album was The Chronic. They wanna know if he still got it. They say rap's changed, they wanna know how I feel about
it. If you ain't up on
pace, Dr. Dre is the name, I'm ahead of my game. Still puffin' my leaf, still fuck with the beats. Still not loving police. Still rock my khakis with a cuff and a crease. Still got love for the streets, reppin' 213. Still the beats bang, still doing my thing. Since I left, ain't too much change.
Still, I'm representing for them gangsters all across the world.
Still,
hitting them corners and them lolos, girl.
Still, taking my time to perfect the beat. And I still got love for the streets. It's the D.R.E.
I'm representing for them gangsters all across the world.
Still,
hitting them corners and them lolos, girl.
Still, taking my time to perfect the beat. And I still got love for the streets. It's the D.R.E. Since the last time you heard from me, I lost some friends. Well, hell,
it's the D.R.E.
Yeah, so this is very Compton. Some of you will know the story, the legend of, you know, the band N.W.A. And literally before then, there wasn't much music from there. You know, it wasn't a place that people saw as musical. And then when N.W.A. came out in the second half of the 80s, and most of the band members were from Compton. Ice Cube wasn't, but the other guys all were. Dre was. That it became almost synonymous with gangster rap, with police violence. It was the home of the Bloods and the Crips, you know, that gang violence in the 80s and 90s that was so famous. And this was a really rough time. I mean, there was LA riots in 1992. There was the whole crack sort of situation, crack epidemic in the 1990s. Apparently, I mean, I guess we hadn't heard of it, the gangs are in a truce now. So that's why we're not hearing about it. But during that time in the 90s, and so this music was really a backdrop and sort of synonymous. And one article I read was talking about, like, you know, a lot of these LA suburbs evoke these images, like Beverly Hills, right? Mm-hmm. Melrose Place, you know, Sunset Boulevard. And Compton is one of those. And it's because of the rap music. One of the other early artists around this time, we're not playing Toddy T, but one of his songs was called Batterin', and they literally had battering rams that they would go smash up people's houses to go. The cops would go look for, you know, stuff. So Compton equals, you know, gangs, police brutality.
Is Compton like quite a poor city?
Yeah, it used to be like in the 1970s, it was 90% black community. It's a very mixed now. Now it's only like 33% black and 65% Latino. So it's probably sort of dissipated the intensity. But yeah, so I guess, you know, 70s, 80s was this real center for the black community. And then also one of the communities to sort of gradually move to middle class communities. And yeah, I was going to say, those of you who saw the N.W.A. movie could see that, you know, Ice Cube was from a slightly more middle class family and stuff like that. So Yeah, just, you know, sort of in that central city, sort of rough part of town, whereas in LA, you know, it was the suburbs where, like, you know, the nicer people live. but yeah, so, you know, this really synonymous with Dre and NWA and gangster rap. But the next artist we're going to play, I mean, he's one of the sort of, you know, brand new last couple of years artists, and he came from Compton as well, and that's Kendrick Lamar. And, you know,
like, and he's been making waves.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's able to sort of still sort of maintain some of the similar discourse that NWA talked about, but obviously it's fresher. It's 2016, and you know, so a really important figure, I guess, sort of trying to keep that Compton voice heard and out there. And some of the other people that are from Compton was funny. Normally, you know, you look at famous musicians from Compton. They just had rappers from Compton. There wasn't even a category for musicians. Mm. It was only rappers. And so some of the other guys is MC8. He's from the 80s as well. Suge Knight, the horrible guy that used to manage NWA. Tyga, you know, the one dating one of the Kardashians.
Yeah.
The Game, he's a you know, more in the OOs. Sort of the 50 Cent sort of era.
So why was this place so like flourished so much with like gangster rap music?
I think because NWA started, a couple members of NWA just had like, they were like DJs, and yeah, they just happened to sort of, you know, they already had sort of experience in gigs, and then, you know, sort of jumped on the rap thing, which was a more New York thing, and got discovered. And then, you know, we've seen that with different towns. Once you get one explosion, then the record labels have more trust and will sign people from that area. And so, yeah, so NWA then led the charge so that if you walk into a you know, a studio or a station and say, hi, I'm a rapper from Compton, they'll go, all right, well, listen. You know?
Yeah.
So that gives you a certain credibility. And apparently the other big category of famous people that come from Compton are NBA stars, basketball stars.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, it's just this really interesting sort of black Los Angeles area.
Let's listen to Kendrick Lamar, Swimming Pools.
Headshot.
Frank.
Sit down.
Frank.
Stand up.
Frank.
Pass out.
Frank.
Wake up.
Frank.
Faded.
Frank.
Faded.
Now I done grew around some people living their life in bottles. Granddaddy had the golden flask, backstroke every day in Chicago. Some people like the way it feels, some people wanna kill their sorrow. Some people wanna fit in with the popular, that was my problem. I was in a dark room, loud tunes, looking to make a vow soon that I'ma get fucked up, filling up my cup. I see the crowd mood changing by the minute, and the record on repeat. Took a sip, then another sip, then somebody said to me, nigga, why you babysitting? Only two or three shots, I'ma show you how to turn it up a notch. First you get a swimming pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. Pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. I wave a few bottles, then I watch them all fly. All the girls wanna play, they watch. I got a swimming pool full of liquor, and they dive in it. Pool full of liquor, I'ma dive in it.
Pour up.
Frank.
Headshot.
Frank.
Sit down.
Frank.
Stand up.
Frank.
Pass out.
Frank.
Wake up.
Frank.
Faded.
Frank.
Faded.
Frank.
Okay. Now open your mind up and listen to me, Kendrick. I'm in your conscience. If you do not hear me, then you will be history, Kendrick. I know that you're nauseous right now, and I'm hoping to lead you to victory, Kendrick.
If I take another one down, I'ma drown in some poison, abusing my limit. I think that I'm feeling the vibe. I see the love in her eyes. I see the feeling of freedom is granted as soon as the damage of vodka arrived. This how you capitalize. This is parental advice. And apparently, I'm over-influenced by what you are doing. I thought I was doing the most, and someone said to me,
nigga, why you babysitting? Only two or three shots. I'ma show you how to turn it up a notch. First you get a swimming pool full of liquor, then you die.
You can feel the sort of balmy flatness of Compton, you know, driving in the sun. And so he was mentored by Dre as well. And so, I mean, Dre was a huge figure. You know, he mentored and produced for Snoop, Tupac, Eminem, you know.
Wow.
Like, you know, Dre really brought us a lot of music. Now,
were there any white rappers that came from Compton at all?
No. And Eminem was not from Compton.
No.
I mean, there could be if we dug around, but I just hadn't come across any here. Now, so being as I said, there was it was all rappers and no music. The next artist is music, and so we were sort of slightly different direction. This is a Samoan guy from Compton.
Whoa.
Named Jay Bug. And he just, because I think the Grammy nominations just came out this week, he's got nominated for a Reggae Grammy.
Wow, amazing.
The Pacific community is like really over the moon. Everyone's, because they've been listening to him, you know, for ages, and he's come to New Zealand heaps before, and I know he's done stuff with like Don Raid artists, but obviously he's just like kept at it and gotten recognized within the reggae field rather than the sort of Pacific-y pop field, which is how people have been listening to him here. And so, yeah, so because there are, you know, Pacific Islanders in Compton, I think even now they're almost at like 1% of the population.
Mm.
I mean, Compton's not a massive, massive city. I think there's like around 100,000 people, you know, in the, and because it's like a big suburb. And so, yeah, so Jay Boog, a Samoan guy raised in Compton and doing Pacific reggae.
So when did Jay Boog start kind of making music within Compton and pushing himself out through that
community?
I think
he's been around for quite many years, you know, like over five. But this is more like within the Pacific community. He was discovered by another sort of Pacific Hawaiian artist who brought him to Hawaii. And so a lot of his early recordings came from Hawaii and through the sort of Hawaii Pacific diaspora community. I mean, that's been what's brought a lot of, you know, like New Zealand hip hop here is through like the LA Samoan, American Samoa sort of community and that sort of access there. And so, yeah, that's why he's been around for New Zealanders. But yeah, I was reading some you know, he's been in the charts in Jamaica, but I was also reading some articles from the Jamaican press going, who's this guy?
Yeah.
But so we know that Pacific Islanders love reggae and have been doing reggae for a long time. And he's been around and yeah, and his mentor Fiji's been around. Fiji is Hawaiian, but yeah, just, or based in Hawaii, sort of confuse everyone. So yeah, so it's really neat to sort of see him. And, you know, Compton's a big part of who he is, and he talks about it, that if he hadn't have been discovered, he was working, like, in an oil refinery. So apparently they have an oil refinery in Compton, you know. Right in the middle of the city, let's put an oil refinery.
And who are we going to close with today?
So this guy I hadn't heard of, and his music's really different and interesting. His name is Graydon Square, and he's been doing stuff since 2004, and he's a Iraqi war vet. I mean, he's not Iraqi, but he was in the Iraq War, and he's done degrees in physics and philosophy.
Wow.
And you can kind of hear it in his lyrics.
So this is Graydon Square.
Yeah. Grand Unified Theory. Rational Response Squad's newest member. My name is Graydon Square. And I'ma always give it to you straight. Check it. Yo, yo, yo. I'm like the atheist spokesman. That's why I come under fire and pressure attacks like Rex Grossman. Haha, yeah, this game is intense. I've been saying this since agnostic people been playing the fence. They keep saying it's the same in the sense that evolution requires faith that the universe just came to exist. First of all, microevolution's been proven in the same way that sound waves let you listen to music. And macroevolution is a system of change at or above the level of species inflicted with change. That's microevolution on the grand scale we can't even word because our lifespan's too short to observe.
But carbon dating is flawed. Its half-life is 5,730 years, and that's a fact I caused. Now that'd be great if we used it to date, but since we don't, then I'ma question that argument's weight. We use potassium argon to date the globe, not carbon 12 or carbon 14, not none of those. So before you attack, great, go get your facts straight, because in the facts race, your God comes in the last place.
Believe in gods, we can fix that, fix that. Irrational thoughts, we can dispatch, dispatch. It may be hard, but we'll get back, get back. In the position just to end that, end that. Believe in gods, we can fix that, fix that. Irrational thoughts, we can dispatch, dispatch. It may be hard, but we'll get back, get back. In the position just to end that.
Look,
end that.
To battle me, you need the reason clearly. Now I'm not saying fear me, but at least be versed in punctuated equilibrium theory, grand unified fields.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.